Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
And welcome on board. Oh, wait a second. I'm back in the soft seat again. I'm sorry. Excuse me.
Soft seat, not the catbird seat. Yes, and it is painfully obvious you do not need me. You had two great shows with Bob Uner Jr. and Todd Roop yesterday, so it's clear that I'm not needed around here.
Oh, no, Mark. We need you. You are strikingly handsome and an asset to the program.
It's obvious you're reading your contract again.
Well, it's what I was told to say. It's right
here
in front of me.
Your contract card.
Read this or else, it says.
At least you do what you're told. All right. Well, stand down and be more reasonable and listen carefully.
I'm listening very carefully.
Okay. When do you get the bandage off your head?
Today might be the last day I have to wear.
Oh, no kidding. All right. Well, good luck with that. I hope the doc says so. Yeah, you had Mohs surgery, for those of you who aren't familiar with that, to make sure that your ever-expansive
forehead
isn't overexposed to the sun anymore. So, all right. So Joe McGranahan is here. He's been in the catbird seat for a couple of days this week. I'm Mark Lawrence. I took a couple of undeserved days off, but glad we had some good substitutes. I would like the record to reflect that it takes Chad to fill in for me in the morning, two individuals on the Mark show, a couple of extra people in the newsroom, and Rob to do some of my work in order for me to take a day off. I do the work of dozens of people, I'm trying to say.
Who wrote that down for that has to be said?
No, that's not true. I get to take a day off, and Rob does work harder when I'm gone, and so do you. So I appreciate that. All right, we do have some comments via text, so these were not read yesterday, or were they?
No, unfortunately, when you left, you forgot to explain to me how to bring the text messages up on the screen.
Oh, okay. All right, well,
I'm sure you explained it to me before, but you know, I'm old, and I don't remember all these things.
Okay, well, it's just a computer reading screen, so I'll show you how to do that. The Pennsylvania Bar Association Judicial Review Committee should be gearing up. Do we have any judicial candidates in this election?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, okay, so you don't have anything to do this year.
No, it's ahead of the primary, usually, where we do our work. All right, next year.
Next spring. But Joe is a member of that review commission, and our review committee, and he's in charge of vetting the judges to see if they're recommended.
It's called the Investigative Division.
Is it?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Well, thank you. And Joe's in charge of the investigations to make sure that some of these people
don't have any criminal investigations. I'm one of the members of the panel that investigates them.
So how do you investigate?
Well, we call people, we read their cases. All candidates for judge have to submit what they think are their most important cases over the past few years, and then we'll interview the attorneys on both sides, and we'll interview maybe the plaintiffs and the litigants involved, and we'll interview personal friends, people that have, like them or don't like them. We go wherever the information takes us.
All right.
But it's a panel comprised of two attorneys and one layperson.
And you read a lot for this.
Well, you do have to read the opinions of the judges.
You read the opinion, but not whole trials necessarily.
No, no. What usually we read is the opinion because we're talking about appellate courts, and appellate courts write opinions.
Okay. All right, so that's on Joe's resume. I just think it's important from time to time that we mention that he's a big deal in other places.
Right, not here, but other places.
All right, but you got
very
a lot of
good, Mark.
You got a lot of compliments on your show yesterday, including this one, who indicates that we are apparently hopeless. So
okay,
so we appreciate that. So you read that while I say these important words.
All right,
On the Mark, sponsor of the Sunbury Motor Company. Check him out at sunburymotors.com. Our hometown pharmacy's toll free line is open. You can call us 1-800-795-9565. That is 1-800-795-9565. You can call us. We have toll-free lines today. You guys talked about President Trump and the divisiveness in Harrisburg and Washington yesterday, so we were welcome to pick up where that left off. The toll-free line sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy in Mount Pleasant Mills, the Norrie Pharmacy, Danville Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Trutz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg. They invite you to think local, shop local. Make sure that your local hometown pharmacies are part of your pharmaceutical opportunities. So please take advantage of your local hometown pharmacies. Again, call us 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 70236. If you're a Text Connect member, just reply to a previous message or text us a new one at 70236. If you're not a Text Connect member, sign up at WKOK.com. Now is the time to do so, because it won't be too long that we'll have some blizzardy information to pass along. So that's the kind of stuff that we put on Text Connect. If you have impending nasty weather, tornadic weather or something like that, that will be on Text Connect. Of course, if anybody of significant notoriety were to pass on, we would pass that along as well. Or major road closures around here, that's also a Text Connect topic. So that's why you would want to sign up at Text Connect. We don't send you any commercial information. We don't sell your list. Nothing, no. It's all just an opportunity for us to reach out to you in an additional way. So that way, maybe if you're at work and you're not listening to the radio because you can't, because of your concentration level, you can't do two things at once. So, men, this is for you. We'll text you and let you know that there is a big breaking news story out there. Women can do two things at once, but not so much men. 1-800-795-9565 is the telephone number. Joe, what has one of our listeners sent?
Tom, who seldom likes anything I say or do, but that's okay, Tom. On yesterday's show, Joe and Todd found it funny that $300,000 would buy an election. A lot of question marks after that. Well, evidently, American media, led by David Pecker, a close friend of Mr. Trump, currently on legal immunity and cooperating, thought differently as they bought Playboy bunny Karen McDougal silence for $150,000. Fact. Mr. Trump also thought differently as he paid porn star Stormy Daniels $150,000 for her silence. Fact.
That's a fact, yeah.
Where did the money come from? On both transactions is the only issue remaining. Did it come from the campaign? Did it come from the Trump Foundation? Or did it come out of his pocket? Time will tell. Either way, it is corrupt and dishonest. The election was won in three states by 107,000 people total. The states were PA, Michigan, and Wisconsin. Did hiding these affairs swing the election? Nobody can answer that. It is, however, crystal clear that Mr. Trump and American media that they feared it would have, as they did spend $300,000 to keep the affairs a secret and only days from the election. Mr. Trump has numerous problems in New York that he can't pardon his way out of. Mr. Manafort has another trial in Washington, D.C. in a few weeks. Charges are much more serious. Money laundering and conspiracy against the United States. Will Trump be implicated in this one? More question marks. He's itching to pardon this guy for a reason and not a good one. Birds of a feather flock together. Once again, false praise given to Trump on a glowing economy that he inherited. Gap widening between the haves and the have-nots. 45 million living in poverty. Another 100 million living paycheck to paycheck, working two or three jobs. Time to take those rose-colored glasses off. And Lance and Dan are hopeless.
All right, 1-800-795-9565. For further deep analysis of this important subject, we got Bobby.
Yes. You know, it seems that ever since the president has been elected, those, you know, opposed to him are trying to get him out of office.
No kidding.
I mean, in other words, they, I don't know. I just seem that the, you know, of course, the election process, you know, as far as popular vote versus electoral vote and that, but the fact that he is the president, that, you know, it seems like the media, I mean, it seems that, you know, they're against him. And that's really not fair.
Well, yeah, it probably isn't fair, but the preponderance of the media, you know, is... They're not out to get him, but I think a lot of media probably would do wise to heed some of the information that, you know, to re-examine their objectivity. I think the president is a newsmaker. I think a lot of these stories are valid stories, but it's a lot of unrelenting coverage. And, you know, there are some positive things to say about the presidency and the, you know, and things
not
like this.
Not according to Tom.
Well, but you know, and I don't think you get much coverage of them, as much anyway. So what the president was talking about, that most of the things you Google about President Trump are negative today?
Apparently. Well, 91% of the stories about him and all media are negative, and only about 9% are positive. So But he's claiming that when you search Google, what comes up will be the negative stories. There won't be a positive one in the mix.
All right. Well, and you hearken from a day of broadcasting, Bobby, when you tried to be objective at all times.
Yes.
Absolutely.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, thank you for calling in.
Well, you know, take CNN, for example. This latest blowback of theirs on this story about, what was it? The, I got the story
just the
right
monkey
here.
Man?
No. A full-blown war of words between the First Family and CNN broke out late Wednesday on Twitter, with the cable network mounting an unprecedented attack on President Trump and a jarring official statement defending a widely questioned story. The statement from CNN came after the president mocked Watergate legend Carl Bernstein, who co-wrote the disputed report that Trump's former lawyer was prepared to give damning information about the president to the special counsel Robert Mueller. Now, that story, the guy who was the source for it, the lawyer backed off and said, no, I made a mistake.
Okay.
But CNN is sticking by it, and they're doubling down. But they've had five major stories where they, you know, had some big expose about Trump that have all proven to be untrue or at least distorted. And then, you know, so I think that, and I don't blame them, you know, he strikes at them, they strike at him. I mean, that's kind of like human nature. He fires back, they fire back. But I don't think it's good for anybody.
Well, I think, you know, like I said before, I think the media has lacked some objectivity at times because of the preponderance of this coverage. But at the same time, I think, you know, it should be a great learning opportunity, a teaching opportunity. If somebody tells you, you know, your nose sticks out farther than your chin and it makes you look ugly, I think one thing you should do is go look at the mirror. So I think, you know...
Are you talking to me?
No. Sorry. I don't know. I'm trying to make a point. I guess I'm not doing it very well. But I think, you know, there's nothing wrong with self-examination. If you're the news media and somebody says you lack objectivity and you're out to get the president, well, you know, have your ombudsman look at your coverage or your reporters or the bias that individuals bring to the coverage. And I think what happens is, you know, we know that reporters do not have the physical ability to be completely unbiased. It's just not our nature. You know, we all recognize certain things as not being good in society, and so we report on them accordingly. Well, you know, is there a consensus that the president is bad? You know, I think among some reporters, the answer is yes. And so, you know, then maybe you shouldn't be providing the coverage, or you should be offset by, you know, an editor that can detect that. But I would encourage all news media, national news media and local news media around here, and even in our own newsroom, to really wonder, you know, what would biased coverage look like? What would objective coverage look like? What would, you know, the coverage that's, you know, sort of anti-Trump look like, kind of thing?
Well, you know, it's take Tom's letter here. I mean, obviously, nothing President Trump is ever going to do is going to be right with him. I mean, he inherited the economy. I thought it's a riot that for 8 years we heard how that everything that was wrong with the economy was traced back to President Bush. Now, President Obama always was blaming President Bush for everything.
Maybe
now,
initially.
Now, all of a sudden, we're into the next thing, and the economy picks up, and that's not the new president's doing. That's the fact that President Obama started all this. Well, he did get the economy going in the right direction, but to say that President Trump had nothing to do with the way things are going right now, consumer confidence is soaring, there's jobs for everybody who wants to work, not all of them family-sustaining wages, but enough so that people are out
black
there.
Unemployment. Mention that again, please.
No, I won't mention that again, but Hispanic unemployment is at its lowest peak.
How's
ever.
The wage gap working out for blacks?
Well, I don't know, but, you know, don't we have to take this stuff one step at a time? Isn't it for first to get people back to work, then we'll worry about how much they're making?
Right. Well, the economy's booming. There's no argument about that. This employment situation where you have so many jobs going wanting really hurts some businesses. We know of some businesses around here that, you know, really are facing curtailed hours or not closures, but
you were on vacation.
Are having a dilemma.
You may not have heard a story that was on Gordon Deal's program. I think it was on Tuesday or Wednesday, yesterday or the day before. He was talking about the fact that normally they have these guest workers visas that, you know, they put out so that people can come in here and work seasonal work. There's such a great need for them now. So many Americans have found other jobs that they don't have enough of these visas to go around. And so the landscaping industry has been particularly hard hit because they can't get enough people. He talked about one guy who had to cancel $500,000 in contracts because he couldn't get the people to do the work. You know, so that's why I think immigration reform is so critical. And I think that's what the president's trying to hint at. You know, let in people that we need to do certain jobs. If Americans don't want them, let people in who do want them.
Well, I don't think it's an immigration issue, but we do know that there's businesses around here curtailing hours because they can't find help. You know, so they're not going to be open in the evening or on certain weekends or maybe into the fall if it's a seasonal job. So we know there's an impact locally. We are just glancing at media, the presidency, the economy right now, I think, is sort of a summary of where we're at right now. And you're welcome to call us on this topic. The Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line is open. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. Cindy, you're on the mark. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning, gentlemen. Under Joe's issue, I say raise their salary offering. You know, oh, they can't find the workers. Well, no, I wouldn't be surprised if they can't find workers at the minimum wage or some very low wage. Here's an idea. Raise the salary you're offering. Provide health insurance. You'll attract people to your positions. You can't have your cake and eat it, too. The days of cheap labor at the expense of Americans is coming to an end, I hope. And I thank President Trump for that. I do. However, my call is about the media. You know, I was appalled, truly appalled, at the behavior of some press people towards Tiger Woods. And I don't give two golly hoots about golf. But I don't think it's appropriate to interview people about a sport, then set them up, and when they don't give you the answer to the question that you want, eat them alive for 24 or 48 hours. I just think that's ridiculous. And that's what the press has come to. And that, to me, is the naked bias. We don't have the press to go out and offer, you know, five-minute questions, and that's exactly what went on there. Maybe not 5 minutes, but a long-winded question on and on and on. And then when he didn't get the answer he wanted, they crucified Tiger Woods. That man's not in politics. He's not suggesting he's running for office. He hasn't set him up as the moral decider of the world. The guy hits a little ball around some grass. And that's what the question should center on, hitting little balls around on the grass.
I think what you're talking about, in case some of our audience isn't familiar with the story, is that Tiger Woods came out and said some favorable things about President Trump.
What? I don't think he said anything necessarily favorable. He just refused to criticize the guy and said that he respects the office of the presidency. What is wrong with that? Well, what's wrong with it is that he didn't give the answer that those reporters wanted, and so they ate him alive. It's just ridiculous. It's not their role to be judge, jury, and executioner, the press. It's not it is not their role. And there's nothing fact-based about asking protracted questions about describing every malicious thing you can think up or conjure up, and then say, okay, so, Cindy, what do you think? And then if I refuse to give you the answer that you set up when you lobbed that ball over at me, borrowing from tennis, you know, because I refuse to hit it back to you the way you want it, now you eat me alive?
Isn't it perhaps racist, the fact that they ask a black man a question about the president? They expect him to come down on a negative side. He doesn't. Therefore, they ate him alive because he didn't live up to their expectations.
I did not realize that. And that is grossly racist. Grossly racist to do that, if that's what that was about. I just thought, you know, it's just ridiculous, though, when you interview Soupy Sales, given, you know, that the president did, given the president did that, don't you think he's, you know, a son of a gun? Why would a comedian comment on this? That's how I see it. He's not in the business of that. If you were to ask him, do you think that it's a sorrowful thing that, what's his name, that guy with a dentist thing on Carol Burnett, that
Conway.
Tim Conway is having such a struggle at the end of his life. That seems reasonable. He probably knew the man, and he probably, you know, laughed with him. There's some connection between these two people. You know, it's to me, this kind of behavior by the press demonstrates they've lost their way. They have lost their way. And they're just in the business of setting people up. And I would be, if I were famous, and I'm deeply, deeply grateful I'm not, I would refuse to interact with these people if that's the way they're going to handle it, you know?
Well, I think certainly national news media should probably examine whether they wish to be objective. You know, do you wish to be objective? You kind of talk about that in journalism school, and you put it in your mission statement and so on, maybe above the door mantle when you're walking in. But we don't necessarily see it borne out in the broadcast or in the print world. So I think they should ask, what would objective news sound like? What would it look like? And are we producing that? And the answer is yes, then that's their answer. That's fine. But I think most people could recognize, there must be something positive that the president is doing, not just 10% of his activities. And certainly all those moral failings and compromises that he makes doesn't bother the people that voted for him. They're all for that. So, this idea of what $300,000 in payoffs to these women, those are contracts that the president entered into with people. And why should that bother anybody? That doesn't have anything to do with trade or tariffs or, the important things that
but
the president's doing.
You know how the media works. I mean, I could ask you a question. Mr. Lawrence, do you still beat your wife? And you say, no, I don't beat my wife. And tomorrow's headline is, Lawrence now says he doesn't beat his wife.
Anymore.
And then ask me, what do you think of Mark Lawrence beating his wife? And I say, this is none of my business. And so they eat me alive that I don't care about wife beating.
Right, you won't deny it.
Rather than me refusing to get involved in their nonsense.
Cindy endorses wife beating.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what they're doing. And it isn't just to President Trump. I see them playing this game. I don't see it as their agenda, and clearly they are running an agenda.
My lovely bride says we need a new example. Thank you, honey.
She's not listening. Don't you lay a hand on that good woman.
Amen.
I just feel like I don't code to the press. I don't turn the TV on to listen to this stuff. And then as they start up, I have this miraculous device I hold in my hand. It was once called a Lazy Bones. But by the inventor, it's now called a remote. I changed the channel. They have lost me. And this is their mistake, because there's such a thing as a diminished response. As you continue to stimulate, and this is true in medicine, if you keep stimulating a nerve, eventually it fails to respond. And that's what they're doing. They're going to burn through the ire. Oh, yeah, there's a small, religious group, and they're always going to be wailing. But for those of us in the middle, for the people who vote, they're losing us. We're not going to listen to them. It's like the boy who cried wolf.
All right, we got to hit the road. Thank you so much, Cindy.
Thanks, Cindy.
Appreciate the call. 1-800-795-9565. I think we'll have time for a speedy dialer after a quick break. We'll be right back. That's the Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line.
If you want to have a fun day and have less than perfect credit, you have to drive a Hyundai from Sunbury Motors Hyundai. Sunbury Motors Hyundai has 17 2018 Hyundai Elantras picked out for anyone who has less than perfect credit. Every new Hyundai comes with a 10-year, 100,000-mile bumper-to-bumper warranty and Hyundai Assurance. Sunbury Motors Hyundai will work hard to get you approved on a brand new Hyundai Elantra. Bankrupt, divorced, slow pay should not be an issue at Sunbury Motors Hyundai. Why settle for a used vehicle when you can bring your bruised credit to Sunbury Motors Hyundai. 17 2018 Hyundai Elantras picked out for anyone who has less than perfect credit. If you want to have a fun day and have less than perfect credit, you have to drive a Hyundai from Sunbury Motors Hyundai. Sunbury Motors Hyundai in the black building on North 4th Street in Sunbury. 17 2018 Hyundai Elantras picked out for anyone who has less than perfect credit. If you want to have a fun day and have less than perfect credit, you have to drive a Hyundai from Sunbury Motors Hyundai.
All right, that's my cue to leave the lights on here and the microphones on, because the football coaches come in here this afternoon. Buzz, you're on the mark. You got 30 seconds.
Good, guys. That's all I need. I think from my own experience, National Public Radio, which I listen to a number of times a day, seems to be the most important. Is one with the least amount of bias. Lack of opinion. I'm sure they're not perfect, but for me, that's where I go.
Okay.
NPR.
I think they're viewed as not being as objective as other media, but being more liberal.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't know either way. I don't listen to enough of it.
I often listen to an article and I think, well, how do they feel about that? Because, you know, you can't often tell. Thank you.
All right, we got you, brother. Thank you for calling in. That clears the toll-free line that'll be open during the second half of our show. 1-800-795-9565 is the Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line. Sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy in Mount Pleasant Mills, Norrie Pharmacy, Danville Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Trutz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg. And we're going to say a lot more about that coming up. This is WDKOK Sunbury.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome back to the WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show, On the Mark. We're talking media bias and President Trump's administration, our booming economy, which gets no coverage at all whatsoever, except on Fox News and Breitbart, and that's about it. Other than that, no one else is covering it. So we'll talk about that today, and media objectivity. We got one call coming in already, but we'll take more comers. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. That's the Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line. You are welcome to call that number, and you could be on the radio. The Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line is sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy in Mount Pleasant Mills, the Norrie Pharmacy, Danville Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Trutz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg. On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 70236. Join the growing list of individuals who love to be connected to us with the Text Connect system. Some brief news headlines. A two-year, sometimes contentiously debated, new county prison project ready for inmates in Northumberland County. Officials had a ribbon-cutting ceremony yesterday for the new county prison, which will start housing 286 inmates next week, or that's the capacity of the prison anyway. County Commissioner Sam Schicitano says the journey has been an arduous and positive one.
I have to congratulate all the contractors who worked on weekends to get this thing done on time and under budget, which many people told me that would never happen on a project like this. And I just think we have probably one of the best prison and rehabilitation campuses in the state of Pennsylvania as far as a county level.
Calling it the County South Campus, he says the goal won't be just to warehouse inmates, but to make them once again productive members of society.
If you're in prison because of drugs, we have something that might help you. We're talking about maybe bringing some kind of day reporting up here so that if you get out, you'll come every day and get some counseling. I hope there's people's lives that we save because of what we did up here.
$31 million prison actually came in under what the estimates said that the prison would come in as. Here's some a story you don't hear every day. A coal mine reopening in the valley, but it takes state grant money to do so. Governor Tom Wolf announced Tuesday a $1 million grant to reopen the anthracite coal mine near Mount Carmel. A news release says Blast Jack Coal Corporation was approved for the grant, 25 to 30 United Mine Workers jobs. Salaries double the median household income in the region. The company says upon completion, they'll provide high-quality anthracite coal for the next 20 years using that mine near Mount Carmel. The top-ranking Republican in the state Senate says no. He's responding to a sweeping grand jury report on the sexual abuse of children by Roman Catholic clergy by saying he opposes the suggestions from the state auditor general and the state attorney general that there be law changes that will make it easier for victims to sue. He says he opposes legislation to retroactively loosen time limits on lawsuits by the victims. The Senate President, Joe Scarnati, said such a change would violate the state constitution, and although he would support amending the law, that is an extended process and has no absolute certainty. It is a change in state law that bishops have successfully fought in recent years, even as a handful of other states have opened such windows was to let victims sue the church, raising the prospect of a massive payout. Instead, Scarnati said the church should set aside money to pay victims through a fund administered by a neutral third party to ensure fairness and objectivity. And the church needs to establish a victim compensation fund this year and make restitution to its victims, says Scarnati in a statement. Money should also be utilized to prevent abuse from happening in the future. And let's see. Here's a story you don't hear very often. An Ohio-based energy company is closing its last coal-fired power plants in Ohio and Pennsylvania. First Energy Solutions says Wednesday it plans to shut down its remaining four coal plants by 2022. The three Ohio plants are on the Ohio River in Stratton. Its last Pennsylvania coal plant is in Shippingport. The company said it can't compete in the regional wholesale markets that are managed by the PJM Interconnection. FES Generation Companies and Chief Nuclear Officer Donner Moll said in a statement the decision was difficult. Moll added that coal and nuclear power plants are losing out to cheaper energy sources like electricity and natural gas. First Energy announced earlier this year it would shut down three nuclear plants.
That doesn't make sense. You don't use electricity to generate electricity, do you? You use something else to generate electricity. Or did you read that wrong?
I might have read it wrong. Yeah. Okay. The trouble is that with natural gas and nuclear, if you stack them up on a day-to-day basis, natural gas is the fastest way to generate electricity and the least expensive. Coal and nuclear are, farther down the list.
That's today. That's going to change in the years to come, I'm sure.
Right. And so, therefore, the plants aren't moneymakers, so it's, their responsibility to their stockholders to make sure that they don't operate them. But this particular company, very slow to get involved in the natural gas industry, unlike other, forward-thinking entrepreneurs.
Yes.
So now they're struggling for it. But they're not mothballing these permanently. They're just, they're going to stand down for a while. Natural gas prices are going up. All right. We have open phones, 1-800-795-9565. Lance, you're on the mark. Go right ahead.
Latest power plant gossip is Consolidated Edison is going to merge with Chase. Yeah, they're figuring, generating interest. Oh, anyway.
Wait, say that again?
Good one, was it? Well, anyway, this is AKA Hopeless. But anyway, I don't know what financial journals that Tom was reading, but I well remember articles in the journal where they talked about the last administration's chief economic advisor saying that we would bump along the bottom. I believe what he said, the new normal. Now, he said the president never said that. However, his chief economic advisor certainly did. So they only promised us, blood, toil, tears, and sweat from here on out, simply because of the way the world was.
Well, and then 11 or 12 nationally known economists predicted we'll never get the 4% growth. So
that's right. That's right. That's what I said about economists that, like I said before, you laid all the economists end to end, you still can't reach a conclusion. And it's really the truth when it comes to that. Well, also, if you talk about our president being feckless and about the Russians, the last administration, after 4 years of being privy to the highest level of intelligence from both the CIA and the State Department, said that Russia was no longer a threat, that they were a zero. Remember Romney and him going back and forth on it?
Yeah, the 80s called. They want their foreign policy back.
Right, right. That's a quote I was trying to recall. And nobody ever says anything about that. And if a real conservative person, McCain, had recently passed away and everything, I don't believe the accolades would be like they were. I mean, especially if you take a look at that guy's record when he was at Annapolis, he finished fifth from the bottom in the class.
CBS had a clip of some of him talking about some of his exploits, the pranks that he would do, or getting kicked out of class, or he got slapped by a teacher one time.
Well, even he made fun of the fact that he didn't finish very well in his academic standing.
Right, his pivot point was his military career.
He got enough demerits to have run back and forth from Annapolis to Baltimore 17 times.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Well, as I recall, General Custer didn't finish very high at West Point either.
No, he didn't. But Custer had it coming. He did.
We all know how that ended.
Yes, it did. No, well.
I read about that. That was the most asinine charge in the history of warfare, I think.
Well, it was typical for the man and his bravado.
Yeah. But anyway,
and
like
Reno,
I said, though.
Reno didn't help by not showing up on time either, so.
No, that was a total disaster. Well, anyway, though, like I said there, we weren't set up for anything but disaster. And you think about, the guy at the New York Times who said, boy, Trump gets elected, that's the end of the economy. I mean, they were all ganged up against him. But, you know, there was one of the old English writers said that when true genius shall appear upon the earth, ye shall know him from this sign. All the morons are in confederacy against him. So that's the way it is.
So if I got you straight here, you're calling anybody who is opposing President Trump a moron?
Oh, no, not at all. I'm just throwing it out there.
I think the people who oppose President Obama, he's calling a moron.
Yeah, sure.
All right, thank you so much. Appreciate the call, Lance. 1-800-795.
Enjoy having a nice, hopeless day, Lance.
1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. And we started out talking about President Trump, but we're not locked into that category. We'll take a quick break, and we will take any comers on any topic. There's other things out there. We have a clipping from Penn Live that relates to the Snyder County DA, so
right.
We can read that. One of our emailers, they see the word air conditioning in there, so there's probably something about schools closing,
yes,
early, a vibrant discussion on our Facebook page about kids today and parents today, so we can talk about that. And, of course, we can continue this President Trump / news media conversation, if you wish. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. You can email us at onthemarket@kok.com.
How's that saying go? Oh, yeah. Time flies when you're having fun. This summer has been flying by, and school is right around the corner. My brother's leaving for college. Again. So Mom got stuff for him at her hometown pharmacy. Band-aids, cough drops, ibuprofen, Q-tips, multivitamins. She's got it all. I'm gonna need some stuff for school, too. Hand sanitizer and tissues for sure. I can't get sick in the first week.
Discover the hometown pharmacy difference today at Lewisburg Pharmacy, North 2nd Street, Lewisburg. Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Route 35, Mount Pleasant Mills. Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, Market Street, Bloomsburg. The Norrie Pharmacy, Duke Street, Northumberland. Trotz Pharmacy, Walnut Street, Mifflinburg. And the Danville Pharmacy, Mill Street in Danville.
Hey, you. Yeah, you. Can you keep a secret? Okay, don't tell my parents, but I can't wait to go back to school. Packing my lunch, seeing all my friends, and riding the bus? How's that song go? Oh yeah, these are a few of my favorite things. Really, not kidding.
As Benjamin Franklin once said, in order to live a happy life, we need a roof over our heads, food, and GE appliances. Well, maybe he didn't really say that, but the statement's true. Appliances are an important part of our daily lives, and that's why Peter's Home Appliance Center in downtown Sunbury has been a part of your family's lives for over 50 years. Buying a new appliance is a big investment. Appliances have to live a long, productive life just like you. That's why Peter's sells only the best products from names like GE. Well-built and energy-efficient GE front-load washers and dryers, French door and side-by-side GE refrigerators, dual-fuel ranges and gas ranges, microwaves too. GE appliances make life better, and we make shopping for them even easier. And Peter's services what they sell, too. So come see the GE Appliance experts at Peter's Home Appliance Center, Market Street in Sunbury. Peter's Home Appliance and General Electric, making your life easier.
We're ready to entertain the whole family at Cole's Stony Hill Tree Farm. Be sure to visit the corn maze. Wind left, right, in, and out, and get lost in the fun. Maze hours are Fridays from 3 till 9, Saturdays from 11 till 9, and Sundays from noon till 8. On September 8th, don't miss the car show from 3 till 7, and the corn maze and craft fair. The fair will continue on the 9th, and Dog Day in the Maze is also on the 9th from noon till 8. See all their events at colesstonyhill.com. Cole's Stony Hill Tree Farm, 3319 Mexico Road in Milton.
It's the Dan Patrick Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
James Franklin's resume is going to stack up with anybody short of Nick Saban. He beats Urban Meyer. He beats Wisconsin to win the Big Ten title. By year three, they win the Big Ten title. You know, I would argue he's one of the five or six best coaches in college football. But a lot of guys do not like him because he's brash and they think he maybe played to the camera a little bit.
The Dan Patrick Show, weekday mornings at 10 on News Radio 1070 WKOK and on the WKOK app.
Welcome back to the WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the mark, we got one caller standing by, another one calling in, and we got one email pending. No Text Connect messages, 70236, the number if you'd like to be the Text Connect person who's next in line. All you got to do is sign up for WKOK Text Connect, and then we'll read your message on the radio. 1-800-795-9565 is the Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com. We talked a little bit about the fact that maybe it is time for media to examine whether they have any bias or not. And maybe they do this all the time and it's not necessary. Maybe they think they are covering things objectively and that most of the stories that should be generated about the president are negative. But we'll take your opinion about this. 1-800-795-9565. Dan, you're first of two callers. Go right ahead. You're on the mark.
Hey, good morning, guys. Another great program today. Why, you know, on media bias, one of the least reported things in what Trump and I call the fake news outlets is the true Russian collusion. You know, they never report about the Steele dossier that was used as opposition against Trump. And they never mention the upper echelon of the Justice Department was greatly involved with this under President Obama. They never bring that out. In fact, one night I had it over on CNN, and they said they made as if that was the fake news. Well, they never bring out that the opposition research that was done in order to keep Trump from winning the election, and then when he did win, they used that dossier to use things biased against Trump. Anything that they could find a leak, they leaked it to the news media. John Brennan leaked thing opposing Trump that could make Trump look like a moron. And all that was used. You never hear that at all brought out on CNN. The only people that are exposed in the Steele dossier for what it is, that was paid for by the Clintons, is Fox News. That you'd never hear that on the other networks that I heard. Now, maybe they did, but I didn't ever hear it, and I don't even read about it in our local papers. What do you think, Joe?
Well, they did interview Bruce Orr, the Republican. They got him before a couple of congressional committees, and they did interview the guy. And, of course, his wife worked for the people who compiled the dossier, and so there's some question about the ethics involved in that. But it was behind closed doors, so we don't know exactly what was said. One or two of the people who were on the committee did leak some few details, but I'd like to hear the entire testimony myself.
Me too. And you, the only network that's really bringing, and I know these people don't like Sean Hannity, but he's been bringing that out for about the last year and a half, showing the opposition that nobody else brings that out, that the Clintons paid for that whole Steele dossier. And Obama had to know about it, and certainly all the upper echelon knew about it.
Well, supposedly, Bruce Orr, in his testimony, one of the things that was said was that he admitted that the dossier was filled with hearsay and opinions and not necessarily facts. and that they did not disclose that to the FISA court. Now, that's what some of the, I presume, Republicans in the hearing had to say about it. But, you know, I'd still like to see the whole thing. And I assume they took an under oath, and I'd like to see a transcript of it.
And, you know, Joe, as I said yesterday, if there's a blue wave, I think a lot of that will be buried, because I don't see much objectivity to bring that out, since all them people involved, even Mueller, is not going to bring any of that out, because they're in the tank for the left wing of the Democratic Party. They're not in it for Trump.
Okay.
They think he's so despicable. And I think
deplorable.
Well, we're the stinking deplorables that stink up Walmart. So,
okay. All right. Thank you so much, Dan.
Hey guys,
appreciate the call.
Have a good one. Keep the faith.
Yeah, to keep up.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate that, John from Mifflinburg. Is this the John who I think it is?
I don't know, Mark.
No, nope, different one. Okay, fantastic.
Oh, okay.
Well, very, very glad to have you on the line. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. I just wanted to call and just, I've been, I don't know, just worried about our country. I think that President Trump is a real threat to the country, to our democracy, and that, I don't know, it's always a fire hose of offenses that come out of the White House like every day, and it seems like it's impossible to just stop and pause and talk about one thing, you know? And I think that's almost like a strategy, you know. You just kind of keep overwhelming everyone, and you almost get numb after a certain point. You know, just with John McCain, not making an announcement, putting the flag back up to full staff. I mean, that, what kind of person acts that way?
Well,
a petty, vindictive
global leader does this like a dictator.
Yeah, that's I think so. And
that's his prerogative. He's the president. The majority of the the majority of the Electoral College chose that he should be the president.
Let's be fair about it. With the flag thing, he did the wrong thing, but he didn't do it. He didn't order it taken down. It's the way it originally is. He just didn't extend it. Then finally, with pressure, he did extend it.
Right, and he didn't come out with a statement about John either. He just said something to the family.
No, but he did eventually come out with a statement that wasn't...
I know, he eventually... You're correct. He eventually did. And but I was just bringing that up as one of many affronts.
Yeah, that's his mildest offense.
Yeah.
Yeah, like he came out yesterday and talked about there's going to be violence if the election doesn't go in accordance with what he thinks it should, with supporting the Republicans. Now, what kind of man does that? We're United States of America, we're a democracy, and the President of the United States threatens violence around an election. Now, what's more fundamental to our country than a free electoral process, free of, you know, we're not in Guatemala or Nicaragua where you have death squads meeting you at the polls. It's a, and for him to try to undermine that process, I don't think that again, it just speaks to this, you know, autocratic impulses the guy has. You know, he disguises himself as a populist, but everything he does, he just tries to erode all the foundational institutions to our country. He tries to erode them, whether it's the Department of Justice, you know, always critical of them, that the so-called intelligence agencies, the witch hunt by Bob Mueller. Donald Trump, you know, isn't fit to shine the shoes of Bob Mueller. You know, Bob Mueller is a war hero. He fought in Vietnam. He was a platoon leader for the Marines. He was shot in combat. He has a Bronze Star. And, you know, for Trump just to continually to deride this guy, who's a Republican, by the way, because it doesn't, you know, he's threatened by him, it's a disgrace. And, you know, that's, again, that, there's so many examples. The press, this the so-called press, the enemy of the people. That it's a pure autocratic impulse that, you know, would even say that, let alone the president. enemy of the people. I remember as a kid, I was in Eastern Europe, in East Berlin, a student group, and we're talking to this reporter for a journalist, so-called, for the DGR, you know, part of the Soviet Empire at the time. And he's critical of United States press, like the New York Times, because they take advertising. So essentially, his argument was that the press is totally corrupt in the United States because it has a commercial foundation, as opposed to the freedom that he enjoys as a journalist to write for, you know, Pravda. And, you know, I mean, it turned the world upside down. Like, he's like, you know, because the New York Times is not going to report truth about anything because they, you know, Lord and Taylor buys an ad in the paper. And it's the same type of defensiveness that comes from Trump. Like, well, you can't trust the press. You know, it's a it's the enemy of the people. So that's what frightens me about the guy, and makes me worried about our country. That all of these institutions that have the electoral process, the press, hell, you know, the military. Anyway, so...
Well, what if all of these decisions are just decisions that you strongly disagree with, that they're not eroding our democracy, that, you know, maybe our democracy is getting stronger? You know, you see these smart people like Lou Barletta and Congressman Marino that, you know, sort of walk in lockstep with the president and, you know, appreciate everything he does and his, you know, all the tweets and all that other stuff. You know, what if this is just the way the system goes for a time?
Well, you know, you look at the Republican agenda, you say, well, the country elects a Republican, so there's like check boxes you expect from a Republican president. Lower taxes, get rid of regulations, don't worry about the environment, you know. And you can argue and say, well, substantively, this is something I agree with from a policy standpoint. But what I'm talking about is something that underwrites all of this stuff, all of the normal kinds of, you know, back and forth that you would have in terms of policy. Say, okay, that's fair game, that's politics, you know, it's you get this from a Republican, whatever. But there's something behind all of this that is much more insidious and detrimental, and it trumps, not part of the pun, but it the policy things, which I certainly have disagreements with in terms of what exactly is, you know, informs the policies even. But that's not, that seems like, you know, normal stuff that you would have. This is like fundamental, a kind of a corruption of spirit that this guy has. And he's willing to, play it out no matter the damage that he does to the country, I think. Because it, you know, that the election is rigged. That was a big thing of his before he got elected, right? Before he was elected, the election was rigged. So again, a foundational institution of our nation, he was saying that it was rigged. That
it was rigged in his favor.
There's an irony there.
It wasn't necessarily rigged in his favor. I think it was, you know, and we haven't even proved that it was rigged. There was absolutely no evidence that anybody's vote changed based on what the Russians did. And how, if we're going to talk about moral equivalency, how about our and President Obama's investiture in the Israeli election, where he actually spent American money trying to defeat Bibi Netanyahu? Is that an example of moral decay that's ruining the heart of our country, too?
No, I would say not if it's an isolated thing. I don't know. How about Ronald Reagan and Iran-Contra? You think that undermined our Constitution?
Sure, it did. How about Fast and Furious? Didn't that do the same thing?
No, not to that scale.
Okay.
But anyway, you know, you can go back and say,
if you're making the argument that every administration has done some things that probably are bad, I'd agree with you. But to attribute to Donald Trump all that is evil and despicable, I can't quite buy into that.
You're making the argument that they're all equivalent. I'm saying they're not, that he's special, and he's very dangerous. You know, that's what I'm saying.
Well, thanks for your comments.
Well,
you're welcome.
Here, listen, stay on the line, John, while Joe reads the next email.
Yeah, this is somebody
somebody who probably would take issue with what you're saying, John, says it's too bad these anti-Trumpers feel they're stuck to their ideology. Not so. Even in this area, we have folks who claim that they are just too sophisticated to support our president. These are our self-proclaimed educated elitists. Just ask them. They'll tell you right quick. Just look at our economy. How can they sit there in their hoity-toity groups and be dead set against each and every promise that the president has fulfilled? Swallow your pride, you guys, and start to be a patriot again. Be part of the truth and enjoy living in America again. I just couldn't be part of that group. And how can the media keep up their lying and fake news? Now Trump has a set of gonads, call them out, and on the carpet for their falsehoods. Shame on them. And that's from David in Fisher's Ferry.
He's talking about us, John.
I don't know. You know, and so, you know, it's sprinkled in there with ad hominem attacks. You know, nothing I said is like, you know, he's not talking about that. It's just, you know, hoity-toity. I don't know, whatever the hell, that he's talking about. But
it's just platitudes.
Yeah, right. So, you know, since 2010, the job growth has been every month there's been job growth. Right. And that's the other thing, that Donald Trump, he's always lying all the time. And that's another thing that undermines... would you seriously hang out with a guy that lies all the time? I mean, would you give him the time of day?
Well, we don't every day. I'm only kidding.
What?
Yeah. So you want it, you know? I mean, who would, you know, he puts tariffs on Canada, and the only way he could do that and violate the NAFTA agreement and the World Trade Organization, all agreements that are in place, is to say that Canada is a security risk. I mean, how absurd is that? That Canada is a security risk.
But he's arranged a bilateral agreement with Mexico.
Okay, but that doesn't speak to what I'm saying. I'm talking about Canada. That he lied about Canada in order to, that they're a security risk, in order to impart tariffs on them. And come up with this lie that the trade imbalance is in Canada's favor, which is just not true.
All right, John, we'll get some reaction to your remarks.
Okay.
And we'll open up the phone.
Thanks for calling. Appreciate your call.
So much for calling
in.
Very much appreciated. 1-800-795-9565. We'll take another quick break when we come back. If anybody wishes to remark on the good words of John of Mifflinburg, you're welcome to call in. We have another listener who's concerned about air conditioning in schools, so we can talk about that. But we're on the subject of media bias and our president. And somebody texted yesterday and said, he's not our sitting president, he's our lying president. All right, he's the one. All right, 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. We'll take all comers. 1-800-795-9565. That is the Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line. And our whole shooting match is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street, Sunbury, and Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Do what I do. That's go to the quick lane on North 4th Street in Sunbury. That's where they specialize in all types of service on vehicles, state inspections, nitrogen for tires. They'll pump you up and make sure that your car is ready to go. They also will do a trip check. Maybe you got a fall trip plan someplace. You're headed up to the New York wineries or back down to the shore in South Carolina. It doesn't matter what it is. They'll get you squared away, and they'll make sure that you are ready for the road trip with a trip check. And if they say your car can't go any farther, guess what? They got hundreds of pre-owned vehicles that have a 1,000-point inspection. I'm exaggerating. And brand-new vehicles from Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln are ready for you to go. And SunburyMotors.com, the place to find out more about the Sunbury Motor Company.
If you want to have a fun day and have less than perfect credit, you have to drive a Hyundai from Sunbury Motors Hyundai. Sunbury Motors Hyundai has 17 2018 Hyundai Elantras picked out for anyone who has less than perfect credit. Every new Hyundai comes with a 10-year, 100,000-mile bumper-to-bumper warranty and Hyundai Assurance. Sunbury Motors Hyundai will work hard to get you approved on a brand new Hyundai Elantra. Bankrupt, divorced, slow pay should not be an issue at Sunbury Motors Hyundai. Why settle for a used vehicle when you can bring your bruised credit to Sunbury Motors Hyundai. 17 2018 Hyundai Elantras picked out for anyone who has less than perfect credit. If you want to have a fun day and have less than perfect credit, you have to drive a Hyundai from Sunbury Motors Hyundai. Sunbury Motors Hyundai in the black building on North 4th Street in Sunbury. 17 2018 Hyundai Elantras picked out for anyone who has less than perfect credit. If you want to have a fun day and have less than perfect credit, you have to drive a Hyundai from Sunbury Motors Hyundai.
Welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. Earlier this week, we had a story in the news that the Lourdes Regional School District was dismissing early because of the 90-degree air temperature and 100-plus real feel in the temperature, and some of the classrooms got into the upper 80s as the temperature in the classroom. To that end, there was a very, very vibrant Facebook discussion about this, about either the wussy kids or the wussy district that won't let the kids suffer.
And Dick says, maybe it's me, but I have a problem when schools leave out early because of excessive heat, and they say no air conditioning. I grew up with no air conditioning in any of our schools. However, we started school in September. My issue. I watched local TV last night, and they are covering these high school kids practicing football and girls' soccer in the same warm and hot conditions. Let us see. Too hot to sit in school, but fine to practice in heavy clothing and 90-plus degree temps. Maybe it's me that just doesn't get it. It's the same for snow days, for an inch or two of snow. There are many places in the U.S. where kids would be illiterate if they didn't have school because of snow. I know they use lawsuits for an excuse for everything. Several years ago, it was so foggy you couldn't see several feet, and the schools were open. And an inch or two of snow or pea-thick fog, I don't get it. Signed, Dick.
And what do you think about that? You like kids to suffer today, too.
No, but I think he makes a good point. You know, if it's too hot to sit in school, it's got to be too hot to practice for football and for field hockey and all the other sports.
Yeah, it's different if you're outdoor being active. I think if you drink plenty of water, and it was very breezy yesterday if you're in the outdoors.
You said you listened to the program Bob Buhner and I did on Tuesday, and Bob brought up a very interesting point that this whole thing is because of the football playoffs. We used to not start school until after Labor Day, but now in order to get the 15 weeks or 16 weeks of football in before it gets really cold, they have to push the whole thing back. And that means the kids have to start school in August and take their summer away from them, where they should be enjoying their vacations and doing things like that. They're sitting in a classroom or being sent home early because it's too hot to sit in the classroom.
So that's the real reason. Is that okay? Well, then I did not hear that particular segment. I was actually out cutting grass in the sun.
You were out in the heat.
In the 90-degree weather. But no, it wasn't 90 degrees. But anyway, but some school districts don't open until next week, and none open this week. It's kind
of
strange. No. Shikellamy had never planned to open until next week. A number of school districts still aren't in, and they won't open until next week. So
I thought all the schools that participated in VOTEC had to do roughly the same thing.
No, Shikellamy's not starting until next week, and there's a couple other school districts that don't open until next week. Milton's the only local district that delayed their start until next week, right in our immediate area. Right. There's our other districts statewide.
Well, you know, you have to say that somebody took their eye off the ball, perhaps at Milton, because heavy rain, high temperatures equals mold. You know, I think that somebody should have been in there over the summer checking those rooms and nipping it in the bud, if you will.
Be that as it may, that's not what our conversation's about.
Well,
this is
that's
about
the one
whether
I'm having about.
Okay, well, that's fine. You talk about that.
I'm talking about that.
Our emailer's concerned about, are we coddling our kids? You know, kids, we don't let our kids suffer the way we used to when we were kids.
I don't think that's his point at all. He's talking about, you know, we cancel school for
just
an inch
the
or
irony
snow,
of the sports. Okay.
But, you know, it's a foggy day and you can't see in front of you and the schools are open. You know, someone's making decisions that don't seem to be consistent with the idea of childhood safety.
Okay, so I noticed that the TV Channel 16 did a package about students working out yesterday on the soccer field and in the football field, but they also showed some kids in these cool tubs. They had these tubs filled with water, and the kids were cooling off in the tubs. Off to the side. Yeah, girls were in one set of tubs and boys were in another. So that was interesting. I just never
saw
that before.
Sounds like a Cialis commercial.
Oh, brother. I hadn't envisioned that. Well, it's all same-sex tubs.
Okay, well, that's better.
They're not bathtubs. They're these great big drinking troughs for livestock.
Okay. Well, if you
there's
say
probably
so.
A better, I'm okay. There's probably a better analogy there. But anyway, okay. 1-800-795-9565. Should schools, well, let's ask our audience, should schools dismiss when it gets too close to 90 degrees in the classroom? If schools dismiss, should you still be able to practice? Soccer is what the girls were practicing, and football was what the boys were practicing. Or maybe it was, what do they play in the fall? Field hockey, right?
Field hockey.
Okay.
But before we get completely off the media issue, we have one. You alluded to it.
Oh, okay, please. Yeah, read that.
This is a great story by John Bogie from today's Penn Live. It's Dateline Williamsport. A man who identifies himself as an independent journalist claims his First Amendment rights have been violated by the Snyder County District Attorney blocking access to his public Twitter and Facebook accounts. Vincent Stoops on Wednesday sued District Attorney Michael Piazza in the U.S. Middle District Court seeking an injunction to undo the actions. Piazza said he had not seen the complaint, so he would not comment on it. Stoops claims the District Attorney uses the Facebook account to distribute news about his office and Twitter as a channel for communicating with the public. The Snyder County resident says his access to both was blocked in August 2016 after Piazza and he had a social media discussion in which he criticized the district attorney's policies. The blocking imposes an unconstitutional restriction on Stoops' participation in a designated public forum, the suit claims. There is no indication in the complaint that Stoops filed a complaint with the State Office of Open Records, but the document claims the agency generally considers social media posts by a county agency as subject to disclosure. The borough of Chambersburg and the mayor, former mayor of Chambersburg, got into a similar situation with a Facebook page he had in which an issue came up about painting murals on a rail trail. And some of the people got a little contentious, and he blocked some of the people who opposed his position. And they took him to court, too, and they won.
Right. Well, and I think this is an extension of open office. And so it just depends on what Vince had said. You know, we'll have to see what you're not allowed to use an open government forum to announce that you feel somebody's done something criminal or, you know, to libel or slander anyone. So if that was happening, that's an illegality that the DA is in his right standing. But if it's just an argument related to policy, then, you know, generally the courts have ruled that those fora are open.
But does his claim have any more or less standing based on his assertion that he's an independent journalist than if he was just a citizen? Does a journalist have more rights than a citizen?
He's a journalist.
He says he's an independent journalist. He claims his First Amendment rights have been violated by the Snyder County.
For whom does he work? I'm not familiar with
this. Well, I believe he blogs or has a blog.
Oh, I see. So he's completely independent. Okay, but no.
Isn't his Facebook page Sealands Grove Concerned Citizens? Isn't that...
That sounds familiar now that you read it back to me.
I believe that. Well, that's just based on my own knowledge. I'm not 100% certain, but I think
Vince marches to his own drummer, so I think that probably irritates some people, so they don't, you know, he's been on this show with his strong opinions. We always get a response to him.
Well, I think in this case, he's got a point. If the district attorney sets up a Facebook page or a Twitter account, and he's using it to disseminate information about his office, I think he has to allow people who want to comment in a negative or positive way.
Yeah, maybe you could do it. If he feels as though maybe something's being said that, you know, implicates or that, you know, that something's he's slandering somebody,
right,
then maybe you could have his comments set so that they're previewed to make sure they're not that. But if he just gets on there and says, you know, this DA is doing A and he should be doing B and he prosecuted so-and-so and he left others unprosecuted or something along that line, then that should be open.
Well, I don't want to be unfair. I think Vince can certainly defend himself if he feels the need to, but he hasn't exactly ingratiated himself to the power structure, if you will, of Sealands Grove or Snyder County.
Well, yeah, but he speaks truth to power, and they find that irritating. So therefore, you know, he doesn't have a lot of friends over there, but that's why. Because, you know, he tells stuff to people they don't want to hear. Now, maybe it's not true. Maybe his perspective's all out of whack or off, you know, off kilter or whatever. You know, maybe his accusations aren't right. Well, he's also been convicted of harassment.
Allegedly.
He's been out of court. I think Carol Hanlon was the victim that took him to magistrate's court, and he was found guilty of that.
Right.
So, I mean, he may be appealing it, but nonetheless, I mean, yeah, you're right.
Moment,
he irritates people to the point that they take him to court.
Well, in this case, I think he's got a point, though. I mean, if the Snyder County District Attorney is using it to disseminate information about his office, and he allows people to post positive comments, then he's got to allow people to post negative comments.
All right. We'll take all comers on this topic and others. We have open phones right now, 1-800-795-9565. We're talking about Vin Stoops hoping the federal courts will allow him to get back on the Facebook and Twitter feeds of the Snyder County DA, Mike Pietsu. Call us now. 1-800-795-9565 is the Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line.
If you want to have a fun day and have less than perfect credit, you have to drive a Hyundai from Sunbury Motors Hyundai. Sunbury Motors Hyundai has 17 2018 Hyundai Elantras picked out for anyone who has less than perfect credit. Every new Hyundai comes with a 10-year, 100,000-mile bumper-to-bumper warranty and Hyundai Assurance. Sunbury Motors Hyundai will work hard to get you approved on a brand new Hyundai Elantra. Bankrupt, divorced, slow pay should not be an issue at Sunbury Motors Hyundai. Why settle for a used vehicle when you can bring your bruised credit to Sunbury Motors Hyundai? 17 2018 Hyundai Elantras picked out for anyone who has less than perfect credit. If you want to have a fun day and have less than perfect credit, you have to drive a Hyundai from Sunbury Motors Hyundai. Sunbury Motors Hyundai in the black building on North 4th Street in Sunbury. 17 2018 Hyundai Elantras picked out for anyone who has less than perfect credit. If you want to have a fun day and have less than perfect credit, you have to drive a Hyundai from Sunbury Motors Hyundai.
Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the mark, Vin Stoops is on the line. Stand by, Vince. He has dialed 1-800-795-9565. And for that, you can thank the Danville Pharmacy and the owner, Kathy Grandizio, on Mill Street and Danville. Super Service. They invented Super Service on Mill Street there next to the police station. The Norrie Pharmacies on Duke Street. And they've been in the same location for a decade and a half, and they would just love to take good care of you there. Steve Mertz is over there in charge. Terry Trutz, that forward-thinking Shade Mountain pharmacist out there, and he's over there working hard to make sure that all their customers out there in that rural part of Snyder County are super served. Lewisburg Pharmacy owner Brad Gill, he's an award winner too. He's making sure that the downtown walk is worth it to the Lewisburg Pharmacy, and he would just love to talk to you down there. Trutz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg, also right in the downtown, so it's a good opportunity for you to visit them. And Market Street has been the location for the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop for decades. Jennifer's the head pharmacist there. All of the Hometown Pharmacy super serving you. Some of them got the drug take back boxes, and they would just love to deliver to you too. So check it out, your Hometown Pharmacies. Vince, you are on the mark. Thank you so much for calling in.
Good morning, gentlemen. Well, I'm calling in. I didn't know you'd be discussing this. I'm sure that it will be discussed. But a friend gave me a message as you guys were talking about it. Turned on the program real quick and heard some false information that I needed to correct. The first being, I have not been convicted of stalking. That is a false statement. That is a particular criminal crime. Stalking is a part of the criminal code. I was found under the harassment statute, and the specific accusation was that I said good morning to Carol Hanlon on the sidewalk. Carol Hanlon is a former public official. She served as borough council member for several years, and currently in her role as Healdsburg Projects Incorporated, as part of an attempt to squash my coverage of her management of our municipal assets. The district attorney colluded with Ms. Hanlon to file a charge of harassment, a catch-all crime, and they charged me with saying making communications that serve no legitimate purpose. The term good morning on the sidewalk, on the street. You can check the transcripts.
That's
the
actual all there was to it. Just one good morning and off to court you go, huh?
Yep.
Okay.
Actually, yes. You can check the transcripts. That's her.
And that's harassment. Okay.
That is her.
No pattern of behavior. No series of monitoring or following or remarks. No, nothing else.
I have never engaged anyone beyond the public realm. I only engage people at public meetings, on the sidewalk, and in other public places. I've never been accused of entering any private property. I've never been accused of going beyond the realm of public grounds. Although many people who are in positions of power continue to try to make this claim, including many members of our borough council currently, Sarah Lauver, Bobby Owens, Ms. Hanlon, Marvin Rudnitsky, have all made this claim. They're trying to just Clinton it, just repeat a lie until it becomes fact. but it's never been the case. And if it was the case, they would have charged me with stalking. But I wasn't charged with stalking. I was charged with harassment. And when I asked that a politically motivated case go to a neutral venue, I was found guilty by a judge with political ties to my prosecutor.
Who's the judge that this was?
There was both a magistrate and a county judge. However, since this is going to be appearing before them again, as Mr. Pietzu is seeking to put me in jail for filing this lawsuit against him, I should probably let the lawyers take care of that.
How is he doing that, Vince?
Mr. Pietzu, on the day at 4:31 p.m. on Friday, these are all public documents that you can go research, at 4:31 p.m. on Friday, Mr. Pietzu filed to have my probation revoked. Now, I was placed on probation, which itself was an absurd punishment for the charge of saying good morning to someone, despite my probation officer saying I was the most pleasant person he's ever had to interact with. He filed to have my probation revoked because a friend of the district attorney has filed a claim that after trying to pick a fight with me, that I threatened him. Now, there are witnesses, multiple witnesses, that will say, no, there was no threats made whatsoever. But based on this claim, Mr. Pietzu has filed a motion to revoke the probation. I was not charged with a crime at all when Mr. Pietzu filed that motion to revoke my probation. Now, they're using loopholes on top of loopholes, what's called a Daisy Cates hearing. This is a loophole that's typically used for major felony
activities. All right, well, we're just about out of time. We'll give you the last, a brief last word here, and then maybe if you wish to, you can continue tomorrow.
Well, I mean, don't believe what you hear in the traditional media when they start criticizing somebody who criticizes traditional media.
Gotcha. All right, thank you so much.
Oh, thanks for calling,
appreciate
Vince.
Appreciate the call. Wow, okay. 1-800-795-9565 was the Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line. Sunbury Motor Company, our sponsor.
I'll be back on Tuesday. Have a nice holiday.
All right, thank you. You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. WKOK News Time. It is now 10 a.m. Good morning.